Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella with Jill DeWitt.
Hi.
Welcome to our show today. In this episode, Jill and I talk about back taxes on a property. We'll explain it. Before we get into it, though, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Aaron asked, I recently sold my first terms deal and things went awry. I like that. During contract time.
Yeah.
The terms were $99 down and $84 a month for 60 months.
Nice. So.
My buyer paid the down payment and the doc/closing fee and signed up for an auto pay with MoonClerk.
Cool.
So far, so good. However, when it came time to sign the contract, she ultimately backed out because... Once I factored the county property taxes in, the monthly payment actually came out to be $124. She feels like I misled her.
My question is,
do you incorporate monthly taxes into your advertised monthly payment? On one hand, I want to ensure tax liability is managed and fulfilled by my buyers. But on the other, I don't want it killing my deals and looking like I'm profiting from collecting taxes, because I'm not.
This is timely, too.
Thoughts on mitigation? Anything you've learned in handling things?
Aaron, this is a very, very well-written and intelligent question, and it comes up all the time, and we're going to answer it once and for all for you. Like everything, Jill and I have made this mistake, and we learned from it. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, you can learn from this answer. Build the taxes into your price that you're quoting. If you have to, keep the payment the same, but extend the months, the term of the loan, from 60 to like 65.
Mm-hmm.
65 months or whatever it ends up being. People don't... one of the things that I love about this business, and I can't stand what I can't stand about the planet, is all the tacked on and stuff that gets that goes on. If you go to buy a gallon of milk, and there's a service fee now, and a tax, and a state tax, and a local tax, and all, I just hate that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So when they say $99 down and 80, when you say $99 down and 84 a month, make sure at the end that that's the contract they're signing.
I'd feel the same way.
When we buy property, we stipulate that right up. We're going to pay $4,000 for this property, and then we're not going to prorate taxes and escrow, and then it ends up being $3,000. You're going to get a check for $4,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I say when I actually talk to the seller,
mm-hmm.
and they appreciate that. So,
mm-hmm.
build in the taxes and pay them yourself. Don't expect the buyer, buyer to pay them,
mm-hmm.
and just build it a deal.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I would feel the same way as she did.
Me too.
You know, clearly on a budget,
yep.
she's buying it for $84 a month, you know, and now that extra 40 bucks just wrecked, it's not much to us, but for her, wrecked her world and wrecked the deal.
Yeah.
And I don't agree. So as far as mitigation, I wouldn't do that. I would, refund her. I'd either A, come back with what Jack just said. How about this? We'll do the $84 a month. I'll make it 65 months, whatever it is, and we'll work it that way.
Done.
So the taxes are paid for. Or B, gosh, if it really doesn't work out, then we're just going to refund it and let her go on her merry way.
Or,
that's okay.
And I hate to, that's an option too. I hate to say it. If you want a customer for life, just say, you know what? Buyer, you're right. And this was an error on it was my error.
Mm-hmm.
And I own the property. I'm gonna sell it to you for the same terms that I'm gonna pick up the taxes.
There you go.
Move on to the next deal.
Exactly.
I wouldn't. If she wants a property, I wouldn't let this $25 a month thing.
It's 40.
Kill it. Oh,
yeah.
40.
That's a lot though. Okay, so what is it coming to? That's $40 bucks a month for 60 months. It's a lot of money.
It's 24, Jill, I think.
I know. So, but yeah, so what's the property worth in the end?
It's 40, right?
Yeah. So, but that might be a lot of Aaron's profit.
What is, I have to bring this up.
What?
What does on a budget mean?
Oh.
Or what is like a fixed income? I'm on a fixed income.
I realize, Jack, you do not understand this concept. Do I need to explain this to you?
No, I'm saying we're on a budget.
Is this like a globe and a flashlight kind of thing?
No, listen.
We're going to date.
Who's not on a fixed income? Who's not on a budget?
Oh,
there's a lot of crap we can afford that we don't buy. We're on a budget. You should always have a budget.
Okay, I hear you.
I don't care if you're worth $4 billion.
This is true. We have an acquisition budget too. You're right, and we stick to it.
And who walks around saying, "Oh, I'm not on a budget. I don't need to have. I'm too good for that. I'm gonna go buy a fast car." Who walks around like that? Nobody I want to talk to at all.
Okay. I hear you. I should, you know what? I'm going to do that sometime. We're going to be at a party or I'm going to be somewhere. I'm going to be in a jewelry. Well, I'm on a fixed income, so I need to keep it under this. I need to keep it under
my fixed income
grand.
Is $1.2 million a month. And my budget's $980,000 a month.
Dude, I'm going to tell this to my new assistant today. I'm going to say something about fixed income and watch her eyes. It's like, what? Oh, it's so good.
I've heard that my whole life, and I've never vocalized. I've heard people like they're walking around with hanging their head going,
"You're right.
I'm on a budget." Really? Everyone's on a budget.
This is, you should be.
If you're not, I don't care how much money you're making, it's going to end.
Yeah. If not, it's called bankruptcy.
That's right. And then then you're on a fixed budget.
Yeah, the government makes sure that you are.
If you have a question or you want to be on the show, reach out to either one of us on landinvestors.com. Julie and I are going to attempt to salvage this episode right now.
I can help.
Talking about back taxes on properties explained. This is the meat of the show.
Okay. So there's two ways we need to take a look at and think about as a buyer and as a seller. So what do you need to do with back taxes on a property? And how does it happen? You know, when properties are paid for, there's no mortgage happening. There's no one keeping an eye on the property. You know, when you buy a home and you have a mortgage, there's PITI in there is your
principal interest, taxes, and insurance.
Exactly. So your lender is making sure those taxes are getting paid. So it's
they're
automatic.
Paying you for
they're
that.
Paying exactly. It's coming. You're paying that. That's true. And they're making sure that they do get paid because of the funds that they take in, because they don't want that asset to go back to the county because you owe them money for it. So what happens? Okay, now either if you pay cash for it or now your mortgage is paid off, now it's up to you to pay these taxes. And they're not harassing you. You get a bill usually twice a year.
Once or twice.
Yeah. For your annual or biannual property taxes. Now, and then it's up to you to pay it. And they don't come hound you and knock on your door and leave notices. It's kind of interesting. If you don't pay the first time, they just add it up and then add some interest and then just keep adding it up and add some interest and add up. And you could have years going
by. And penalties and fees.
Exactly. And it can get hefty. So
if you're in New Jersey, it could be over in 1 year. New Jersey is the highest tax rate in the country.
Got it. But yeah, it can add up. And then the whole process does take, typically, especially our type, I mean, it takes years for the county to take back a property. It could be 4 or 5 years of this process, right, where they're billing you. And then they decide, all right, now we're going to go down the steps of foreclosing and taking the property back. It's got to go in the paper. There's all kinds of other notices that come out. You could still literally ignore this whole thing. And the interesting thing is, this is what a lot of people don't know, they're not going to come get you. Eventually.
There's no foreclosure process
right.
Like with a lender.
That's right.
Now they start calling.
You're right.
So.
I shouldn't say foreclosure. That was the wrong process. But
no,
they're going to.
It's a foreclosure. It's right.
Okay, but they're not going to.
It's correct.
They're not going to ding you.
They just
don't
care. They don't have the resources to chase you.
Exactly. And they're not. It's not going to be a ding on your credit.
Yeah.
It's just going to go away. What will really happen is the county will take the property back and you don't own it anymore.
You'll eventually just not get a bill anymore.
Exactly. And you don't know what happened. It just is gone. And it won't show up on anything down the road. It just, they took it back. Have a nice day.
You know what? That's what this show's about. You wrote this show, didn't you?
I don't think I did, but
really,
I should.
Really, it's a difference between...
Yeah.
So a lot of people, what ends up happening is a lot of... the reason this came up is because some sellers call us and they say, "I got your letter. We have some back taxes on the property and I don't want to go through this foreclosure process like I did with my house 3 years ago."
Mm-hmm.
And what Jill's really saying is there's nothing like that goes on.
Right.
The taxing authority does not chase you down.
Mm-hmm.
It does. There's no implications on credit or anything.
Mm-hmm. So here's the interesting thing. So here's a situation. Now you're saying now you come along. So that's what's happening to the property and what could happen. I'll go back to the county. All right. So I'm a buyer. I'm coming along. I'm looking at some properties and it might have some back taxes on it. Okay. What does that mean to me now as a buyer? I can, when I can just buy the property exactly as it is, which is usually what I do. And I negotiate that. I'll look up and I'll know that, okay, I'm paying $4,000 for the property and it's got $1,000 in back taxes. So I'm factoring all that in. I might give them $3,000 and tell them, don't pay the bill. Here's what my offer was. I know how it stands. I'm still going to give you $3,000. I'll take care of that. Are we good? And most of the time they're like, heck yeah, great, thank you. It's off my plate. So now when I purchase a property, I do not have to pay those taxes right then. Not like when I'm buying a home. If I'm buying a home and there's a mortgage company, right? All the taxes are prorated and caught up to that exact day.
Because a lender doesn't want to lend money on a property that is not, you know, up to speed with taxes.
Correct. So it's up to me at this point now, when do I want to pay them? I can pay them right then. I can pay them 6 months later. I could pass them through. So this is, you have all these options. So now I own the property. Now it's up to me as I'm marketing the property. Now I'm a seller. Do I want to pay the back taxes now? Do I want to pay the back taxes when I sell the property and tell them that it'll be current?
Do I ever want to pay them?
Right? Or do I ever want to pay them and just disclose? And we've done all three.
Yeah.
I've had times where I just, you know, it was not very much and I caught it right up. Or it was, I don't know, a couple $100 or something, and I just told the person that the buyer at the time of transfer, the property taxes will be paid current. And when they pay me, I pay their property taxes, and it's all current. Yep. They start fresh. And then I've done the third one too, which as a seller, I can just disclose, hey, by the way, you know, it's got a, you're only paying $6,000 this property because it's worth, you know, 15, and it's got $1,000 in back taxes, FYI, and they're still thrilled. And it's, what's interesting, I've had buyers that when I explain the whole process to them, they like this because they don't have to pay those taxes right then and there too.
Yeah.
It gives them a little cushion. So they're like, they don't have to pay the whole, you know, 6,000 plus an extra thousand. They can delay that extra, you know, whatever, especially if they're the end user. They like that. I can pay them in 6 months, you know, whatever. It's all good. Cause remember, you know, maybe I'm picking up this property, I'm a year or two into these back taxes. We've got years to go before they have to be caught up and before anything happens.
Here's the takeaway from this show, as far as I'm concerned. And that was a fantastic summary of taxes on real estate.
Thank you.
When property has accumulated back taxes, they're not just a couple months late. It's a sign that something's going on. Some people, some of our competitors, believe this is a good sign. That they're taking a situation, maybe a desperate situation, and they're making it their advantage.
Mm-hmm.
They're using it to their advantage. While conceptually that's not such a bad thing, here's how the real world works with land investing. If you send everybody the same letter that owns the same type of property, and some of the people have back taxes on it, and it's all the same number, right? The same offer price. The people who don't have any back taxes on the property, who've kept it current, are going to be way more eager, and the deal is going to be a lot easier to purchase than the ones with back taxes. Maybe somebody died. That's usually the reason property has back taxes on it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the person that died didn't convey the property before they passed away properly, so it's stuck in probate or some kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So be prepared. If you want to specialize in property with back taxes, like everybody seems to think is glorious, except Jill and I, mm-hmm. and the members of Land Academy,
mm-hmm.
just be prepared to put your lawyer hat on and be prepared that every deal is going to be a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Just do yourself a favor and do it our way.
Right.
It's cheaper and easier and faster, and you're going to get a lot more deals done and make a lot more money if you forget about these back tax properties.
Right. Don't rule them out, but don't single them out.
Good. I like that.
Thank you.
That's a slogan.
Very much. That's how I feel. When I explain to people, the people that the traditional buyer that doesn't know you cannot pay your back taxes, they're getting this bill every year and it's killing them writing a check, and they can't wait to get rid of this asset. You know, that's what's so interesting, like you just said.
Right.
Those are traditionally the people that I run across.
Yeah.
They didn't know they could not pay the thing,
right.
And they're so sick of this property, they're even more excited to give it away.
Right.
Not give it away, but you know what I mean. They're more excited,
just
motivated.
Just to get out of it.
Right, and move on.
To end it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Join us in another episode where Jack and Jill discuss how to use information, that's me,
and inspiration, that's me,
to get just about anything you want.
We use it every day to buy property for half of what it's worth and sell it immediately.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. Yeah, there's the old evil back tax property conversation just happened.
Yes. Again. You know, I'm glad you brought that up. I kind of wasn't even thinking about it. I don't think about it because that's not how we operate it.
We don't teach that, and I never will. Back tax property is just a massive, massive undertaking.
Yeah.
And you know, why not just send a bunch of offers to people who own property?
Mm-hmm.
And then see the ones who come send it back, that, let them tell you why.
Right.
What are we doing, playing God here? Oh, I think I can choose the best ones by what's... No, just send everyone an offer and see what happens.
I think the word's getting out too, by the way, Jack, because I have not had this conversation as often as
Good.
I did a couple years ago.
Good.
I think our people and everybody else is kind of figuring out that those are often the problem properties. There's a reason why that they're behind.
The only reason you would ever... Let's say there's 1,000 properties in a subdivision and 10 and 100 of them have back taxes on them, right? So there's 900 that are fine and 100 that have back taxes. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to send out a bunch of offers to, there's 1,000 properties in the whole subdivision. It's going to cost me $500 to send mm-hmm. everybody an offer.
Got it.
And the average margin on net deal is $2,000.
Okay.
So my first deal pays for the whole mailer.
Right.
And let's say I buy 5 more other properties in the thing and not just concentrate on the 100 back tax properties that are probably undoable anyway. The deals are probably undoable because everybody's dead.
Right.
Why would you do that to yourself?
I agree.
The only reason you would do it is to save money on a mailer.
Oh.
That is why people specialize, because they think their strike percentage is better. And you and I know, as veterans in this business, your strike percentage is not better. Your
exactly.
acquisition yield is not better if you focus on back tax property.
Mm-hmm.
It's worse.
Right.
And what's worse than that is you find out months later when you get into a deal that they don't own it at all or some crazy thing's going on. So
exactly.
You're just hurting yourself.
Totally.
Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cash Flow from Land Show.
We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.